Hello, everyone, and welcome into CrushTheStreet.com. I got a returning guest on the line, a real treat for everyone, someone who's been one of the pioneers on YouTube, coming up on 13 years reporting on YouTube, Bill Still, still reporting. He's been a voice of truth, of unbridled research for many, many years. And as the chips are settling, I really want to discuss with him the facts on what is going on with the virus, what is going on with the economy, and what are the implications? You know, what is the ultimate goal of this lockdown, these socialism policies that are being implemented and rolled out? So I look forward to discussing all of these things today. The Still Report is on YouTube. You can check them out there. We'll have the links in the description area. Bill, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Hey, it's my pleasure.
Bill, the economic blowback we're seeing across the world as a response to the virus is unprecedented. You know, ADP announced 20.2 million private sector layoffs for the month of April, a massive number. And you've done a lot of reporting on the virus, and I'd like to get your initial thoughts on what we're seeing, and then maybe go down a couple different rabbit holes, you know, as we try to dissect what is going on in this current environment.
Well, Dr. Fauci and the minions of Satan are trying to destroy the American economy, but in the meantime, they're destroying the economy of the world as well, and so it's been estimated by the Hoover Institution that this whole worldwide economic shutdown is going to send about 125 million people into starvation, not necessarily death, but a lot of them will die. And of course, these are the human beings on the lowest financial rungs of the human totem pole across the world. And so there's a lot of other implications to this. And let's just hope that Trump can somehow maneuver his way through this forest of darkness and get us out of this and back into a good economic picture.
So what are the biggest lies coming from the mainstream media then that you would point us towards?
That social distancing is needed, that handshaking is not needed. I mean, you know, this whole thing about vaccines is ridiculous. They've been unable to produce a vaccine for the previous SARS virus. They'll be unable to produce one here. And yet they're going into the wild and crazy mode of producing vaccines en masse before they even test them, much less test their effects over time. So this is just craziness. And we don't need no stinking vaccine. What we need is to be able to continue to shake hands, exchange dirty, nasty germs amongst each other at low levels of toxicity so that our immune systems can adjust and keep adjusting to the latest and the greatest out there. I think Sweden had it exactly right. I think this whole economic shutdown is simply designed to attempt to destroy Trump's chances at re-election. It's not going to work.
Yeah, I've heard anecdotally that social distancing ourselves is going to cause us to come out weaker because our bodies are going to be unimmune, and you know, we're not going to be fighting. It's not being strengthened by getting out there and, like you're saying, exchanging germs. You know, one thing I want to point out is the hydroxychloroquine has seemed to be getting a lot of positive feedback. You know, people are being helped with hydroxychloroquine, and surprisingly, it's become the Trump drug. You know, and because it's the Trump drug, obviously, it's not being endorsed. It's not being pursued. So what are your thoughts on this hydroxychloroquine, and you know, why is there such a push towards vaccines and not some of these other opportunities that, you know, where there's a road of least resistance, if you will? You know, it's available, the malaria drug, it's available. Why not explore these avenues?
It's cheap. You know, that's just it. The whole system is not set up for medicines in the public interest. It's set up to support the medical industry, and that's good to a certain extent, but this is where it's just really gone off the rails. And you know, if we buy into this vaccine thing for this particular outbreak, and it never was a pandemic, but this particular flu outbreak, it's a severe flu, but, and that's going to take out a lot of older people. But what's going to happen is the next time it comes around, the next incarnation of a SARS virus is just going to lay the population to waste because we built up no immunity through this social distancing, hide in your house kind of thing. And then even the chances of having a reemergence are greater now once we do start coming back together. But it's only been a couple months, so it'll probably be okay. And probably very few of us will feel the ill effects. You know, the whole shutdown in New York is just criminal, nothing less than criminal what they did in the among the seniors, sticking all the older folks from the hospital ERs into nursing homes, you know, and just completely wiping out the nursing home population. Well, the governor of New York might think that's a great thing for his budget, but it's unprecedented anti-humanity in the history of medicine. So these guys are just really setting precedents up one side, evil precedents up one side and down the other.
So I really feel like the country started out with this pretty united to a certain degree. You know, a lot of people, even down the middle, you know, middle center, middle, you know, middle right, middle left, everyone's just like, okay, let's see what's going on with this. But as the facts started to come out, you know, the country's getting divided once again with this. And, you know, my question to you is, what's the goal of this lockdown? Now it's become such a political divide, you know, with the liberal states and the conservative states. What's the point of this?
The point is to try to prevent Trump's reelection by destroying as much of the American economy as they can. It's just so sickening. I mean, when history is written, if true medicine is to survive this, and that's even at question right now, it's going to deal with this very harshly, the way this was dealt with. This has not been good and filled with treachery and deceit. And, you know, the left, unfortunately, has been drinking the Kool-Aid. Okay, Dr. Fauci tells us to do this. Dr. Fauci tells us to do that. But he's not well-intended. He's operating for not only Big Pharma to maximize their profits from not only vaccines, but from other lotions and potions that they might come up with. But he's also working for a more evil agenda, and that's the depopulation agenda, and that Bill Gates is in support of, and that's nothing but evil.
Well, what would you say to the people that say, hey, you know, he was part of Trump's task force? You know, you say the left is buying into this, but, you know, he was appointed and, you know, given the endorsement of Trump here. You know, what has taken place and what do you feel is changing if he has become just this leftist figure? What's the dynamic with Trump in this environment?
It's a good point because, you know, even me at the first, right at the very first, I was, you know, sticking to my basic principles, and that is we need traditional herd immunity, not this artificial vaccine-induced immunity, which is a one-way street to medicinal hell. Once you go down that vaccine road a couple of notches, then the herd is actually lost enough of its self-immunity, so it just gets worse and worse and worse. And, you know, then they've got us by the throat more and more and more for their vaccines. So, you know, the vaccines haven't worked recently in the past. I hope they don't come up with one that they try to sell to us now. What was the rest of your question? I had some other good things.
Trump's dynamic, you know, he appointed Fauci.
Yeah, you know, anyway, but I bought into the whole Fauci thing right at first too. And I went, okay, well, maybe this is different. Maybe we need to social distance and stop shaking hands and stuff. But and as far as why did Trump buy into it? Well, look at what Trump has had to put up with the whole time he's been in office. He's surrounded by spies and people with hidden agendas trying to do him wrong. And so what does he do with Fauci? I mean, everybody says Fauci's good. Okay, well, we'll bring Fauci on. Maybe Fauci's not so good. Well, now I can't just fire him. That'd, you know, be a political disaster. So he had to adopt his traditional way of dealing with people like this, which is to hold your enemies close. And I think now it's gotten so bad between the two that Trump has finally pushed him out of his circle entirely.
So I know churches are feeling the socialism governments are putting towards them in the bottom of the essential categories, certain businesses, of course. You know, what do you suspect is going to take place? What's going to be the breaking point for people saying, we're done? You know, is there going to be a defiance that brews that ultimately stirs the American people and people around the world?
Well, that's what I'm trying to propagate. make them see, you know, it was embarrassing for me that I drank the Kool-Aid as long as I did, and now I want to try to fix it as best I can. And I think we're close to that right now. I know where I live, fortunately, I live in a little bit more of a rural area, and these people here just go, we don't buy that at all. You know, we're going to go about our business here. And yeah, they don't open the restaurants, but I mean, everybody's out on the roads doing what they usually do, going to wherever they can go. And that's, you know, that's a good attitude. That's a good way to be.
Sure. Bill, Elon Musk tends to be this liberal darling, obviously spearheading, you know, climate change, clean energy vehicles, and, you know, all of these different things. But he's getting fed up with the lockdowns and threatening to move out of California if they don't let them get back to work, you know, let his companies get back to work and start manufacturing. What are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, you know, Elon Musk, when he first broke on the scene, I thought he was nuts. And, oh, yeah, he's gonna have green rocketry and all this kind of stuff. And I didn't think he could do it, but he did. And as soon as he started launching vehicles and then landing the first stage back precisely on a moving boat in the middle of the ocean, I went, okay, I guess he's up to something. And since then, I've become a big fan of the Tesla vehicles, although I haven't had the money to buy one. But, you know, eventually I'll be able to. I think Musk is going through the same, you know, he's not static. He's a smart guy, or he wouldn't have gone as far as he has. And so I think he's figuring it out, and especially now that it impacts his business. So, well, what is he doing? He's just saying, forget it. If you want to jail me, but yesterday he went ahead and opened his plant anyway. And he actually made the statement on Twitter that, I hope I'm the only one that gets jailed. I'll volunteer to be the only one that gets jailed if it goes that far. Because, of course, someone breaking away from the pack in the Bay Area. This can't be allowed without consequences. but I mean, you know, he's got some financial clout too. And if that's certainly the only major car manufacturing facility in California left. And if he moved out, that would be a real financial hardship for the East Bay, because that one plant employs 10,000 people. So he's got some clout, and you know, maybe he's even other people will see what he's doing and you know, become a little more enlightened as to what's going on as well. I think everybody's getting tired of the government trying to shut down hairdressers and restaurants. I don't know how restaurants are going to survive. Half of them are going to be dead. I don't know. It's I trust Trump, and I trust his ability to figure out how best to go about this. And I don't think there's anybody else in the country who could have withstood the onslaught that he's withstood. And now all that's coming out too. Hopefully we'll see indictments of the coosters, as I call them, coming up within a few weeks. And Trump can go on and try to heal the economy.
It's interesting that we're not seeing liberals come out and blame the crash, the economy crash on Trump. It's almost like they're using this quote unquote enemy to be able to blame it on, but they're not blaming Trump in a sense. You know, it's like it's not an economic problem for Trump. Now, Trump feels the stress of this. He wants to get people back to work. I understand that. But it's just an interesting dynamic watching this. So yeah, on the
despite the fact that the MSM is still going full bore, it's all Trump's fault, Trump bad, Orange Man bad, all that kind of stuff. And I think what they're doing is they're just carrying it so far that even semi-leftists or centrists are seeing that this is nothing but a propaganda ploy. Who's behind this? And now we're starting to draw a direct line to the communist Chinese.
So I want to go there, China, and kind of connecting what we were talking about with Elon Musk and moving out of California. Black & Decker is moving part of its manufacturing out of China to Texas, announcing a $90 million build in Fort Worth area. How big of a hit is it going to be for China, you know, with the optics and the whole world basically blaming China for this outbreak? How big of a problem is this going to be longer term for China?
You know, I'm glad that you had the foresight to prepare a bunch of questions. Not everybody does. And if you depend on me to do a whole lot of extemporaneous talking, you're running a risky venture. But in any case, China, expert China watchers were predicting the end, essentially, of China's 6-7% GDP growth per year anyway. And now with this, they could go negative in the coming year, and that would be a disaster for them. That would be, you know, a 6 or 7 point fall in GDP on an annual basis, and they can't stand it. They're leveraged too, and so and also they're in kind of a precarious position with their population, as you can see when it gets to critical mass in Hong Kong. Hong Kong's in full revolt, and that might start to break out elsewhere, especially now. They can no longer claim that they whooped the virus, because now we're having virus rebound in China. And so I think Trump had his finger on China before he got elected, and he knows what to do. And we could easily see General Flynn back in the White House.
Bill, the Fed's balance sheet is now $6 trillion and counting. What's the ultimate economic fallout of all of this? I mean, we have money printing, you know, Trump's rolling out the CARES package, trillions of dollars. I mean, at levels we've never seen before. I mean, adjusted for inflation, you know, in what, 30 days and 45 days, I mean, we've seen the most expensive government program that the U.S. has probably ever seen. So what is the fallout of this, in your opinion?
I hope and pray that because to me there's only one way to move forward successfully, and that's to eliminate the debt money system of the Federal Reserve. We don't need to borrow money. You know, people say, oh, the Fed is printing too much money. Well, it's not printing money. It's borrowing money to print money. You get the same effect. But in addition, you have a debt that doesn't just go away. It hangs there, and the interest accumulates. And that interest, as of last year, was $450 billion. That's almost as much as we spend on the entire Defense Department, just paying a perpetual interest on the ever-growing debt. And it doesn't have to be that way. You can make a country can have the most solemn responsibility of a sovereign nation, other than defend its citizens, is to create its own money without debt, to have sovereign money. You can have a U.S. dollar without having Federal Reserve note across the top of it. You can have the little red seal dollar bill that has been in circulation for much longer than the Federal Reserve note, and that's called the U.S. note. It actually goes all the way back to the Revolutionary War. That's how we won our freedom from Britain. We created our own money. But nobody wants to talk about that. The Fed likes to hush that all up, trying to create the continuing impression that, no, you have to borrow money if you want money. But no, you don't. You can just create it. And yeah, it is printing money. But it's better than printing money and creating debt at the same time. You're just printing money, and you can deal with it.
Bill, so all of this economic energy that's being stored up, that's being manipulated, that's being directed by the Fed, what's the fallout of that? Where does this economic energy flow? Where does the capital flow ultimately when the system breaks?
I don't know, because I don't understand your question. Trump sees a big financial rebound. And if he goes to the Treasury-based system instead of the Federal Reserve system, and it looked from the first couple trillion dollars that he stuck out there that this was in control of Mnuchin and not the Federal Reserve. So I think he's contemplating going that way. And I know during the transition period, someone on his national security transition team, who has been a follower of mine, a military guy for many years, invited me to conferences and stuff, asked me all of a sudden for a white paper on what I would do for the economy for the incoming president, which I produced in about 48 hours. Basically just exactly what I just said on your air. Basically, we need to return to U.S. notes and kill off the Federal Reserve notes. And let me give a little more explanation of that for people who have never heard this solution before. And that's, you don't just trade them off one for one in one day. The way the debt comes into existence is the Fed sells bonds into the open market. They're just like any other bonds. They have durations from days or weeks or months or years or up to 30 or 40 year bonds. And as those bonds come due, the way you fix this is instead of paying off the bonds in Federal Reserve notes or their electronic equivalents, you pay off the bonds in U.S. notes, which are debt-free sovereign money issued, created out of nothing but thin air by the Treasury of the United States on the good faith and credit of the country. And so the indebtedness, there's no way to, all this talk you hear in Congress all the time, oh, we're going to pay down the debt. Impossible, absolutely impossible, except through this method. That's the way you can do it. And it gradually, as the notes come due, you just pay them off. You don't want to stiff them, go bankrupt, because your pension fund, your grandma's savings, they're all in savings bonds. That it would wipe all that out and destroy the reputation of the United States. No, you just pay off the bonds, just like regular, but you pay them off with U.S. notes instead of Federal Reserve notes. And unless you brought it to people's attention, nobody would ever know. The only difference is one note has a little green seal on it, the Federal Reserve note, and the good one, the red, has the red seal, and that's the U.S. note. And this gradually gets paid off over time, so that even in the last 4 years of Trump's administration, he could pay off over, I think, 57% of the national debt just by using this method, paying it off with sovereign money instead of with Federal Reserve debt money, which only incurs additional debt.
That's something I think a lot of people are going to have to wrap their minds around. Well, what happens, you know, to someone who has $20,000 in their savings account? You know, I understand you're dealing with the bonds, but what happens to the $20,000 in the savings account? You know, is it tradable for the
U.S. Treasury? Yeah, I mean, it's everything's exchanged one for one during the. See, this is the difference. I mean, one's a $2 bill and one's a $1 bill, right? But you see the difference? The bottom one is the Federal Reserve note with the green seal, and the top one is the U.S. note with the red seal. That's the only difference. I mean, people wouldn't even notice it. They just think, oh, yeah, I have seen a lot of those red seal dollar bills floating around. But I mean, most people don't use dollar bills anymore anyway. So,
where people will say that they don't want the green seal? They'll just say, okay, I would prefer the red seal. So just in
no problem. I mean, your bank's going to have both of them. I mean, they're still legal tender. They were never taken out of legal tendership. It's just in 1994, the Regal Act made it so that you couldn't do the normal replacement cycle every few years of the paper bills. If they were U.S. notes, they could only be replaced with Federal Reserve notes.
It's powerful. All right, Bill. Well, I appreciate you coming on Crush the Street. It was a jam-packed, full of facts interview. If people want to learn more about the Still Report, you, the work you do, how to support you, please let them know where they can go and what they can expect to find.
BillStill.com or TheStillReport.com, and all roads branch off from there.
All right, sir. Well, I appreciate your time here. Crush the Street.